when you're doing anything, especially anything that's important, it's important to begin, it's helpful to begin with the end in mind. And then you move, as you move forward in whatever it is that you're doing, in a conversation, in a project, and whatever you're doing, to keep that that end in mind as you are moving along in that. Keep it in mind, the end in mind, as you're moving through the good moments and the bad moments, through the difficult moments in the project, the conversation, the relationship, whatever it might be. Keep the end in mind. Building this house is a great example. It starts with a question, what do we want? And then we got very clear about that. We worked hard to get very clear about that, and part of that was actually pretty easy. Then you research around what it is that you want and how do you make that happen. You design and you plan around that. And then you work on, you start doing the work with the end in mind. And all along the way, what we wanted and the conception and the design and the build and all of that, what we wanted was you. What we wanted was this. What we wanted was to make a place, make a space for the gathering of God's people, to pull together people into a community with Jesus at the center of our life together, people that would be part of God's family, that weren't family together, that didn't many times didn't even know each other. And that's what we dreamed, the people that would love each other, that would play together, that would laugh together, and eat together, and eat some more together, and eat some more together. And that's what we dreamed about. It's what we planned for. It's what guided our decisions all along the way. The idea of this is what moved us forward on the exciting days and kept us moving forward on the hard days. And here we are, and we are incredibly grateful for how things have turned out. Steve and I were standing up here before the service and looking around and talking about who we like and who we don't like that's in the room. And, you know, comparing notes, like, we both like everybody here, you know? I am incredibly grateful for everybody here. Incredibly grateful for all the people that we have, the life that we have already had together, the life that we will have together, the future that's ahead of us, the great things that we're going to do with and for God. And none of us would be here today without this principle of beginning with the end in mind. It will serve you well if you will make this a central part of your life. It will help you in relationships. It will help you in the conversations that you want to have with people. What is the most important thing that I want to get out of this conversation, that I want out of this relationship? It will for sure help you with your projects that you're taking on. It'll help you navigate decisions of life to ask, what do I want in the end? And then what? And then what? And then what? Should I go to this school? Should I take this job? Should I do these things? What is the end that I am after? But this principle is even better, serves us even better than that, because it helps us even more so with the deeper questions of life. What are we here for? And what is our purpose? I think everyone here now knows what the claims of Psalms is, the book of Psalms, is that if we meditate and apply the teachings of Psalms into our life, and we make God's coming and rescuing King the central hope of our life, that it will make us blessed, make us Ashreya, make us happy and grounded and joyful people, independent of circumstances. We can be winning and we can be losing, and either way, we are winning. We are blessed. We are happy. Makes us grounded people. We can that can win even when we're not winning. And the book of Psalms is organized to point us to this question of beginning with the end in mind. The last chapter of Psalms, Psalm 150, is the psalm that Jeanette just read for us. And it points to the goal of life. What is the goal of all of Psalms? What is the goal of all of life? It's to praise God. A few weeks ago, we talked about worship. It's a wonderful old word that means worth shape. or to be shaped by the worth of something. And praise is a similar word. It's a neighboring word. It's a cousin word. And the end goal of worship is to praise. We are being worth-shaped to praise God. That is the end goal of all of our lives, to praise God. Praise is an incredibly powerful Hebrew word, halal. And it's a summons or a big invitation to brag, to boast, to celebrate wildly, to cheer and to shine. Absolutely no polite golf clapping belongs with halal, with praising. Halal is big. It's the first part of the word hallelujah. It's a weird Christian word, right? We sing it, we say it. It means praise, halal, Yah, or Yahweh. Praise Yahweh, or praise the Lord. In other words, it means to cheer on the Lord, to let us brag and say, come, let us brag and let us boast together about who He is and what He's done until we glow, until we shine. Let us praise God, praise God, praise God for who He is and what He's done in big ways, and remember together what He did here and what He did here, and remember His promises and point to those and what is going to happen and what will unfold in the days ahead and the life ahead and the life to come, and praise Him until we glow. This is the end goal of the Psalms, and it's the end goal of our life, to praise God and to praise God together. You know, a third of all the Psalms are laments. Laments are, where are you, O Lord? Life is falling apart. Things are no good. The evil people are triumphing and destroying and crushing the innocent. Where are you, O Lord? A third of the Psalms are laments. But as you know, other psalms are psalms of anger or prayers of fears, prayers of confession, prayers of gratitude or for guidance. But all prayers end in praise. For some of our prayers, it might take months or years or even a lifetime for those prayers to end up in being psalms or prayers of praise. But eventually, in this life, or in the life to come, all prayers, all psalms, end in praise. Praise the Lord. Last week when I talked about praying for justice, that in the face of tragedies like kids dying of cancer, or the carnage of senseless wars, lives being lost, mangled, destroyed, that if we could see all, when we stand before God in the end, we won't have anything left to say. We only know a part. We only know a small bit. But when we know everything, we won't have anything to say when all is revealed besides praise God with slack-jawed wonder. I often use these quotes in my Easter sermons, but they're worth remembering here. Russian novelist and devout Christian Fyodor Dostoevsky said this: "I believe, like a child, that suffering will be healed and made up for. That in the world's finale, at the moment of eternal harmony, something so precious will come to pass that it will suffice for all hearts, for the comforting of all resentments, for the atonement of all the crimes of humanity, of all the blood that they've shed, that it will make it not only possible to forgive, but to justify all that has happened." C.S. Lewis, communicating the same thing, says this: "They say of some temporal suffering, no future bliss can make up for it, not knowing that heaven, once attained, will work backwards and turn even that agony into glory." One of my favorite preachers, Tim Keller, says, yes, everything sad is going to come untrue, and it will somehow be greater for having once been broken and lost. J.R. Tolkien wrote, there's no great quotes from him on this, but he wrote this concept in so many of his stories. In the Silmarillion, The power of the Dark Lord Morgoth has spread across nearly the entire world, nearly all of Middle-earth. And herein, the greatest warrior in Middle-earth is helping cover the retreat of some of the last survivors. And with terrible monsters closing in fast, Hurin stands. And he believed beyond what his eyes could see, or what his life experience had showed him, that one day the Creator God would set all things right and break the power of darkness and evil with the light. And so he took up a position in a narrow place to slow the advance of Morgoth's army. And here's what Tolkien wrote. Last of all, Hurin stood alone. Then he cast aside his shield and he wielded an axe two-handed. And it is sung that the axe smoked in the black blood of the troll guard of Gothmog until it withered. And each time that he slew, Hurin cried, Arue Enteluva, day shall come again. 70 times he uttered that cry. All of these things are pointing to a faith that says we will praise God, that God will come through, that God will come through, that we praise God. They're pointing all of us to say, praise God, praise Him with your life, praise Him in the mountaintops of life, and praise God in the dark valleys. Praise Him for the winds, and praise Him when it looks like all is lost. It is in praising Him that you will find clarity, that we will find clarity in life, that we will find our true self, that we will find our greatest strength. And nothing, nothing is worth praising more, putting more confidence in, and cheering on than the heroic victory of Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, God with us. He came, He lived, He died, He rose again to rescue us and to fight evil itself, and to make all things new. He is absolutely worthy of our celebration and praise. And He died like the victorious hero that He was and is. He died bloody and tortured, surrounded by His enemies, but singing a victory song, dying with that song on His lips. It's a psalm everyone standing around Him would have known, especially the religious leaders who put Him on that cross. It's called the Victory Song of the Righteous, and it begins, it's Psalm 22, and it begins like this, my God, why have you forsaken me? It is not a song of defeat. Everyone there would have known this. It is a victory song of the righteous. It ends this way, posterity will serve Him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim His righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, He has done it. Jesus has won. He has won the victory. He has made demons quake. He upended evil. He fought evil, death and darkness itself, and He turned it all against itself. He won our freedom. He reclaimed the keys of death and Hades and launched the greatest insurgency for good against the powers of darkness. And He is and He will bring all people and all things under the goodness and the justice of His kingdom. He has come. And He is coming to set all things right and to wipe every tear from our eyes. He is the Creator of all things, the King of all things, the Savior of all things. Victory is His forever. And ever since that He appeared, the mark of Jesus' followers has always been people who sing in the dark, people who sing over their enemies, sing the victory of God in the face of their enemies. Paul and Silas, tortured and in prison, began singing God's praises into the dark night, and it shook the foundations of the prison, and it led others to find their own victory in Christ. Watchman Nee, one of the most influential people, one of the most influential Christians and missionaries in the 20th century, was a missionary and pastor in China, and he did incredible work, and he was persecuted terribly for it. But he never stopped working and he never stopped winning for Jesus. He famously said, the Christian life soars through praises. To praise is to transcend everything. No matter how dark the night or how deep the sorrow, praise God, praise God, praise God. Begin everything you do with the end in mind and live your life knowing that the end that you were made for is to cheer and to boast and to brag and to celebrate wildly the goodness and the glory of God. Praise God. God, thank you for these people. Thank you for our time together. Thank you that you are the great rescuer and the great king. May your victory fill our soul and your light fill our soul until we glow and we shine. Thank you that the same word that means celebrate and cheer on and boast about and brag also means shine, because that's what it does in us and it's what it does in our life. It makes us people who shine. May we celebrate you all the moments of our life and praise you and brag about you and cheer you on and sing your praises. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.